And welcome back. It's another episode of Inside Boxing, represented by PPV.com in association with Uncrowned and the Yahoo Sports Network. I'm Dan Canobio. He is Chris Algeria, coming to you from Manhattan Beach, California. I'm here for this Netflix MMA card on Saturday night, which should be pretty damn interesting. So had a pretty interesting last couple of days out here. Chris is home. I want to be in my bed, but I'm happy to be out here bringing you another great episode of Inside Boxing.
Dan, you gotta strike while the iron's hot. You got a big MMA fight this weekend. Very, very cool. Netflix, big deal. Gina Carano, Ronda Rousey, got Diaz. You got, it's fun, man. It's enjoy it. Enjoy
Francis
it.
Ngannou.
Francis, who I thought we were going to see in a boxing ring. We're seeing him back in an MMA cage. That's a little surprising, but nonetheless, I'll be watching. You'll be on TV. It's a good thing.
Yeah, I think there's like some type of live watch party that I'll be doing Saturday night. We're working out the details there. Could have a very big co-host. The last couple of days have been crazy. There's a golf course attached to this hotel.
I was going to say, explain this house situation. I keep seeing it on the socials.
We'll get to that.
I'm not understanding. That's okay.
We'll get to that. I'm going chronological order. I get here. It's a very nice hotel in Manhattan Beach.
And for those of you who don't know,
par 3 golf course.
Awesome.
Oh, it's awesome. There's a par 3 golf course attached to the hotel. So obviously, me and 3 of the guys from MVP, we had a moment on Tuesday to play real quick. Go out there, par 3, about 140 yards, grab my 6-iron, go up there, strike it, ball an inch over the cup. I missed a hole-in-one by that much, an inch. I probably would have quit this job. I would
have gone right to the PGA. Anyone, right to the PGA.
Everyone. Or just telling everyone and everyone. Because it was Tuesday, and then Tuesday night, I go to the Dodger game with our uncrowned friends, Ariel Helwani.
Can't say I'm not
Frank.
Jealous. That sounds like a fun time.
That was great. Casey, who edits our podcast, wonderful people. All the whole crew. Frank was not there, our audio guy. That really pissed me off because the only reason I came was to see Frank. Didn't show up. So that was – Tuesday was a jam-packed day of a lot of activities. Getting to Dodger Stadium was not easy from Manhattan Beach.
No, getting to Dodger Stadium was not easy from Dodger Stadium parking lot. It's not easy no matter what. There's always traffic in every direction at all times. Horrible.
Horrible. When I got there, Ice Cube bobblehead cool. night, sold it to a guy for $50.
I was going to say, did you get one and you sold it? You're
yeah, I don't give a shit about Ice Cube. He's not a Yankee. He's a freaking Dodger. So the guy goes, yo, I'll give you 50 for that bobblehead. Yeah. I said, here. The guy Zelled me and everything. Wow. Boom, gone.
Cutting deals.
Yesterday
everything so far sounded really good. Deals. You just miss a hole in one. You go to a Dodger game with a bunch of cool colleagues. You sell a bobblehead for $50 that you got for free. This is all shaken out to be a really good week.
Okay, now we go to the fight house, that's when things get wacky and wild. We have this MVP fight house that they put together, all these influencers, streamers. There's a kid who's 19 who sells mortgages and has like a million followers. There's a guy, Doug Baldwin, who just blew up in the last week, who makes these crazy videos wearing a Power Ranger belt. There's all sorts of characters at this house. None of which like no fighting, no anything, never been to a fight. A few of them have. And we did a 12-hour stream yesterday. And there's just a camera guy just following you at all times. He's got a backpack on. It's going out to kick. It's 12 straight hours of us going to the house, unbelievable house on Manhattan Beach, walking along the beach, going to get sandwiches, getting in the van, going to the open workout, hanging out at the open workout. I nailed the 3 in front of everyone. I'm kind of an athletic guy. That's very clear on this trip. Hole in one, nailed the 3 on the stream. 12 hours of streaming. I wanted to say one thing about the streaming life. It looks easy. It's kind of hard. It's a lot of being on. It's a lot of thinking about what you're going to say. It's a lot of, if I say the wrong thing, that could be the end of me, which some people might like.
Well, apparently, in terms of the comments, yeah, they probably would like to get rid of you. That streamer life is an entirely different organism. I did an MMA show, and I was calling with some streamers. It was like a charity thing for Wounded Warriors or veterans or something like that. It was veterans. But Yeah, I had to make sure every room I walked into, I was like, "Yo, are we on this thing? Because I don't want to be on it. Get me into a different room. You don't need to be seeing me eat my food before I going out.
You know, I was going in spurts.
Yeah, because you're not
leave the house.
You're not on, the camera's not on you.
I'm not the main attraction. I know who's the star. There's a couple stars of this thing. I'm not the main attraction. I am on the flyer next to Jake and I'm next to Ariel, but I'm not the main attraction. So I'd go out to the beach and I just, you know, put some music on, sit by the beach. I go outside, I walk around, and then I snipe into the house, say a few lines, get, you know, rip off a few jokes, leave again, come back in, snipe in and out. Old man status. Like kind of like, you know, towards the end of your career, you weren't throwing 100 punches around.
Actually, I was.
You kind of were. But yeah, you were. This is not a bad example. Some fighters that go in there like Pacquiao, he stopped throwing 70 rounds.
Or like Andre Ward.
I got to know my limitations.
You know, he became a sniper.
I come in, I say a joke, I come in, I nail three, I'm in and out. You know what I mean? Today is going to be kind of crazy because Rampage Jackson is showing up to the house.
He's all over kick these days. I can't scroll.
Bro, he's the number five streamer in the world.
Good for him.
Yeah. He's kind of savage. Kind of. Like a lot of his videos are him.
It's him usually big dogging people and attacking people and making people feel stupid and almost slapping people. So yeah, it's have fun, Dan.
He's been doing a lot with Adrian Broner.
Dean the Great.
Yeah, Adrian Broner has seen better days.
Yeah, man, I actually feel for him. I hope whatever he's going through, he's figuring out, and this can help him kind of kick him along, because apparently he's been in a bad way financially, but now apparently he's making some money on Kick.
Yeah, this could be the beginning of something good for him or the beginning of the end. We don't know how this is going to play out. But yeah, today should be interesting. We got the press conferences. Obviously, I'm here for MVP and their MMA stuff. It's cool to be part of the MMA world, much different than the boxing world, but still combat nonetheless. They still have their open workouts. We have a press conference. We have a weigh-in.
Same skeleton.
Same skeleton. I'm really looking forward to this Nate Diaz versus Mike Perry fight. I think it's going to be a banger. Yeah, and right now on FanDuel, you can get Perry -230 favorite, but the bet I like here is the fight to end via TKO or KO +150.
What does that make Diaz in terms of the underdog? What's his line?
I don't have it right in front of me, but he is. It's not that wide. It's the closest. It's the closest line of all the fights. Like, Ngannou's a -2,000 favorite. Rousey's a big favorite.
Because I can see Nick catching him submission. I don't think Nick is going to try and stand the whole time with Nate. I don't think Nate is going to try and stand the whole time. He's going to stand some because he's just a dog. But Perry's tough on the feet, especially with the hands.
Perry's 34.
Yeah, that's a big difference, too.
Youngest guy in the main card.
He's that young? Man.
34. He's been around for a while. Nate
is 41. I just met him for the first time, like 6 months ago. I thought he was my age.
Did you see Nate? He rolled up to the workout yesterday, lit up a joint, tried to fight the cameraman. Not like an aggressive way. It was like playing with the camera again, shadow boxed, smoked the blunt, dapped up Michael Irving, and then left.
That's awesome.
He's beloved here. He's beloved in California, Southern California. He's the man.
I think he's the man everywhere. But the whole rolling up a joint or lighting up a joint. Didn't he do that at the press conference? And it's pretty much that's his whole thing at this point.
Yeah, that's
But he can also still fight. He's like top five star. Again, I would not be surprised if he pulls the submission out on Saturday because he's still a very dangerous guy.
Yeah, I think Rousey's going to win. I think she's going to win by submission, which is -210 on FanDuel, which I think is stealing.
It's going to be really quick.
Yeah. And then Nate and Mike, I think, will be one of the better fights in the main card. Ngannou should stop Lins. And Junior Dos Santos opening up the card. What a noggin that guy's got.
Big noggin. He's a killer, man. Who's he fighting?
Yeah. Good question. I'm going to do my homework for that. Listen, this is a boxing podcast. I know some people right now listening like, Dan, Chris, can you guys please get to the boxing? This is a boxing pod. So in between all the streaming yesterday, I did put together some notes for our episode today, and I'm very excited do that. Some news that came out of kind of left field. Vasily Lomachenko, according to Ring Magazine, is coming out of retirement. He is 38 years old. He last fought in May 2024 when he stopped George Kambosos. He apparently waited out his Top Rank deal. Apparently, it ended that day, and then the report went out. So he sent scent on that text right at the stroke of midnight when that Top Rank contract expired. He's coming off some injuries, obviously up there in age, but you know, still looked good when he was able to stop George Kambosos in 2024. A lot of questions about this. I would say, Chris, I'm mildly excited about Vasily Lomachenko coming back to boxing.
Yeah, I'm more than mildly excited, but I am not surprised at all. At all. Not even a little bit. Because the amount of money that's going around, the name recognition that he has, the fact that he went out on a high note, I mean, he's a guy who's stayed in shape his whole life. I'm sure he's still in pretty good shape. This doesn't surprise me one bit. Makes a ton of sense. Do we see him still stay? Do we see him exit on a win? I don't know about that, but you know, we're going to see him fight on. And it is Lomachenko. He's the Matrix. He's one of the most entertaining fighters in recent memory in terms of my eyes, of my generation. He's a special, special talent. I put him up there with guys in terms of being different, like a Nazim Hamed, like a Roy Jones Jr. Guys you can't mimic. Guys that you watch their stuff. Even Manny Pacquiao, he's on that level as well. You can't mimic the way that those guys fight. And Lomachenko's one of those guys. So him coming back to the sport, pretty cool.
He's also something of a lightning rod in the boxing world. I know that you're not as online as I am, but I'm sure you hear some of the things. There are a lot of people out there that believe he was a creation of HBO. Obviously, damn good fighter. We're not going to sit here and say he wasn't. Exactly. This is a two-time gold medalist, one of the best amateur fighters ever. Went, you know, won a world title in his, second fight?
Might have been third.
Had an unbelievable second or third fight. But within five fights, the guy was a world champion fighting top opposition. But there are some people out there that believe, oh, this guy was a creation of HBO marketing, later on ESPN marketing. He was pushed way more than some other fighters at Top Rank because of his sublime skills and his whatever the case may be. He was more marketable than some of the other fighters at Top Rank. So, and especially later on in his career when he dropped those close decisions to Teofimo Devin Haney. Look at him. He's overrated. I don't care that he's back. He's one of the most overrated, overhyped fighters. This is some of the things that I see. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think he's somewhere in the middle. He's had a lot of accomplishments. Didn't reach the lofty goal that he had as undisputed at lightweight, and that's only because of that really, really close fight with Devin Haney. But he's damn good. But he's also a lightning rod. And I that's a good thing in boxing because more people are going to want to get eyeballs on you. But I couldn't agree with you more that this is – he doesn't want to fight with Top Rank anymore because Top Rank is attached to Zoom. And we know that there's now an amazing amount of Saudi money in the sport, which is essentially now Zuffa. So I'd not be surprised if this is a Zuffa signing, a Turki Alsheikh signing, a Riyadh signing, whatever you want to do. It's not going to be Top Rank, obviously. So he only wants massive fights to it in this fall. Shakur Stevenson retweeted it with a fire emoji. That's the fight I believe they should be targeting. But is it going to be at 135 or is it going to be at 140?
It should be at 135, but it probably won't. It'll probably be at 140. It depends on where, like I said earlier about, this guy stays in shape. It depends on what kind of shape he really stayed in. He's a small guy.
That's what I mean. Like, he should be fighting at 130, but there's no one at 130.
There's guys, but not at the level that he's talking about. Navarrete, let's give some props to the 30-pounders.
But, you know, let me rephrase it. There's no massive fights at 130.
So it's got to be at 35, which is why he was fighting at 35 to begin with, because he still could have made 130 then. So who's going to force that 35? Would it be Shakur? No, he doesn't have to force anything. He can, he would.
It could be a 140 for the ring belt on a ring card.
If Shakur wants
for ring money,
and just fight at 40. But does Loma take that? I don't know. I don't know. It depends who's going to have the negotiating power there. You're the guy who's coming back, but you do have the name. But Shakur is riding as high as he's ever been ridden. So
that's what I mean.
There's going to be a lot of negotiating power. The leverage there is probably going to be towards Shakur, I would think. Should be. Even though Loma is this name coming out of retirement, but he's still coming out of retirement. I'd like it to be at 35. It should be at 35, but I'm not sure that's going to happen.
So no. So then we could see Shakur Stevenson versus Lomachenko at 140 pounds. So now we're pushing Lomachenko to 140 when he's a guy that should be fighting at 130, but he's up there in age. I'm not going to say he's going to look horrible at 140. Like, we're not looking at a guy that's coming back to reclaim, you know, all these titles. It's I look at it as a money thing, and let me just make some more money off of my name. I don't think he needs the money. I haven't seen anything out there saying that he's struggling in that way. He is a very prideful guy that has told you time in and again that this he doesn't fight for money. He fights for the accolades, and I kind of believe that from him. But I'm just curious what his motivation is to come back at this point. Is it strictly money? Because that's not the best thing for a fighter to come back for. Does he want to try to knock off a Shakur Stevenson? Because I honestly don't think he could win that fight. So I'm just curious. If it's just a money thing, then, you know, I'm not going to fault him, because every fighter is going to do that and deserves to do that, especially when you have the name of
Lefkosiu Lomachenko. Even if it is just a money thing, there's nothing wrong with that. We're prize fighters. We're talking astronomical money, guys. You know, people are like, I'm doing it for the money. Yeah, okay. We're talking seven figures. We're not talking six. We're talking eight figures. Eight figures. Eight figures is life-changing generational money. And just because of timing, you missed this window, which is open now. We don't know how long it's going to be open for. Makes total sense. If I was younger, I would do it too. I'm not in the age range that it's worth it for me to come back and do it. But for Lomachenko, who retired pretty recently, came off a loss, and has the name that he has, yeah, I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, he's 38. He's not like, you know, like a 42, 43-year-old guy that's trying to get back in there. I'm just curious, because he's been linked to Gervonta Davis. You know, that fight was like basically done before he just abruptly retired. So I wonder, I mean, we're just assuming that it's Ring. We're assuming that it's Ufa. We're assuming that it's Shakur Stevenson. We just know it's not going to be the top rank thing. I would put it at like 15% that he would go and fight Gervonta Davis under a PBC fight.
Yeah.
15 is even generous.
I don't see that. I don't see it going any other way with Zuffa, because of the amount of, if you're noticing all these big signings that are happening, they're big. They're really big. And the money that's being thrown out is huge. So why go anywhere else and pigeonhole yourself at what's going to be the end of your career anywhere else, except for, you know, where the big money's at? And like I said, but this window's open now. We don't know. You never know how long this window's going to be open. Every once in a while, we get this big fish who comes in. You know, at one point it was PBC and it was Al, and there was big money attached to it. And then it dwindled down and became another promoter. Matchroom, when they first came to the U.S., the billion-dollar deal, same situation. And now you have Zuffa coming in. And I think Zuffa's probably got more legs and obviously deeper wallets, and the money they're throwing out is a lot bigger. But again, you still don't know how long it's going to last. And everything can change. The world is a bit in turmoil at the moment, so a lot of things can change really fast. So might as well go where the money's at, baby, because we are prize fighters.
So would you agree that Gervonta is very low on that list?
Very low. I think we're going to get Gervonta back. See that. I do think we're going to get him back at some point. I just don't know when in the foreseeable future that happens.
I would actually like I think it's a more winnable fight for Loma over Gervonta, considering his time off out of the ring.
Yes, no question.
Yeah.
Size
the
matters.
Size, they're way closer in size.
Both inactive.
Gervonta is coming off. That's what I mean. It's still a big money fight for Loma if he wants
mentally,
to go that route, but it's not as big
mentally,
as the Zuffa offer.
Because Lomachenko is no Mashchenko. Mentally, Shakur is a much more difficult fight. It's hard to break. I've never seen Shakur break. Never seen Shakur bend. We've seen Gervonta break. We've seen him bend. At least bend.
Yeah.
That's where Loma has his best asset is the psychological advantage that he takes advantage of, guys. I agree with you. That's way more winnable of a fight against Gervonta than Shakur.
Those are the two massive fights, because I'm only coming back for massive fights. So I think of Shakur, I think of Gervonta, even though he's not an active fighter, but he still is a big name. There's Keyshawn Davis, who's fighting this weekend at 140. I don't think that's likely. There's Richardson Hitchens at 140, who would be a nightmare for him, and also not
Hitchens
a massive
that,
fight.
Hitchens
at 135,
he's not going. Yeah.
That's correct. You're right. Yeah. That's another thing too. What they do are is ring. They are Zuffa's not. Are they recognizing?
Yeah. So I had a long conversation about this with a couple guys and some managers. There's different rungs in how you're signed. Certain guys that are getting signed are going to be able to fight pretty much whoever they want. It's not like the league guys. Like Ben's not a league guy. Hitchens isn't a league guy. You know. But
right. You talked to. I saw Lance wrote a story on it.
There's different Pugmire. Rules. You know, it's a multi-tiered system.
And I don't want to hear anyone bring up Naoya Inoue's name when it comes to Shakur, because I saw a few rumblings of that.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do we do? 130? So like 38-year-old Lomachenko's boiling down to 130, and then Inoue is going to shoot up to 130 from 122.
Jump right over it.
If the bag is big enough, I mean, we're living in this world.
I don't know if Iowa, because he's not.
Yeah, like, you know, he's making just enough money on his own.
What is just enough? The guy is making boatloads. You know, that last fight was ridiculous. Ridiculous payday, his last fight. But also, he's another one. Like Lomachenko says, he doesn't do it for the money. Naoya Inoue doesn't do it for the money. He's a goddamn warrior king. That's all he cares about. So, yeah, that's his role. He's not here. He's not an entrepreneur. He is a fighter. And I don't know. I think it's an unrealistic thing for him to think he could just jump. You know, to go, but then again, you got an opportunity to fight a legend. You know, see, there's that.
Yeah. I'm just curious. Like, is Loma coming back to like get a crazy big win? Like Sugar Ray Leonard came back and beat Marvin Hagler. Obviously, never going to be that. I think so. I think it's a little bit of both. I think he wants to obviously make a bag, and he also has a lot of pride. We know that about. Vasily Lomachenko. So, you could do that, but with the Shakur fight.
Rematch with Tio.
It certainly could happen under Zuffa banner, because I believe Zuffa will be signing Teofimo Lopez soon and potentially Devin Haney.
Rematch with Tio, that's a big fight. And that's one that Loma could win. Yeah, I'm not saying he would. You know, obviously, Tio won the first fight. I think he's the only guy who, like, hands down beat Loma. Yeah, that's very realistic. And Loma, being the guy that he is, we talk about he doesn't do it for the money. What is he doing this for? To get that lick back? Ooh. Oh, that's it. That's what's happening.
All right. So there's four now. There's four names in this. There's Shakur Stevenson. Likely. There is Gervonta Davis. It's three names. And then there's Teofimo Lopez.
I would rank it that way.
Yeah, I think it's Shakur. I think Shakur sending out that fire emoji and is letting everyone know what his next fight's going to be. And it's at 140 for the Ring magazine title.
You're saying you think it's going to be that, but like, what's the incentive for Loma there?
To knock off pound for pound top five guy who no one else could beat? I mean, he's not going to be undisputed, so I think he needs to rearrange his goals and say, I just beat the best. This is the best win of my career.
What does he, what?
And it came at 38 years old.
What is Loma seeing in Shakur's style? What is he seeing in Shakur's style where he goes, you know what? Like how Jinky Pacquiao watched Barrios and go, you know what? You know what, Pop? You can beat that guy. What does Loma see in Shakur's style where he looks at that and goes, I can take advantage of this?
I don't think Loma's wife is seeing that. I'm sure she knows her boxing.
I'm sure she does too. But I'm more,
because he'd be a big favorite.
Yeah,
Shakur. I'd say 3-1 favorite in that fight. All right, that's one of the biggest news stories of the week in the boxing world. We have some fights this weekend. We have Keyshawn Davis versus Nahir Albright. It is Top Rank's first show on DAZN. This is a rematch from 2023, which is a majority decision win for Keyshawn Davis that later got changed to a no decision after a failed drug test for marijuana, which is insane that we're doing that still. This is 2026. Nate Diaz has been smoking pot all over California and all over the place. This was in Texas, though, where they don't mess around. Albright then went on and beat Kelvin Davis in June 2025. It was a little bit of a grudge match before the Davis brothers allegedly jumped him in the dressing room backstage. That was a big to-do. That was probably the worst week of Keyshawn Davis's life, between missing weight, getting kicked out of his hometown arena after jumping an opponent of his brother, and was horrible. Albright then came back and fought to a draw with Frank Martin. That was in February of this year. And then he sang after, which was kind of cool. I like that. there's a lot of things here. He's a big-time favorite in this fight. Keyshawn Davis, a -1450 favorite. He told our friend Sean Zatel that he didn't even want to fight Albright. I wanted to fight someone tougher, which isn't the best selling point for this fight.
Yeah, Keyshawn, he's a little raw in his marketing, in the way that he's a little too honest, I should say. I do too, but
I'm sure the top ranked people were like,
dude,
"What the hell?"
Sell a fight, and I think that's something that you learn as you go. He's still just like, he's got the warrior hat on, the warrior helmet, and he's just, you know, I was like, nah, this guy ain't it. Watch what I do to him, kind of thing, because that's kind of the mentality he brings to it. He hasn't learned the finer things of like how Floyd Mayweather would say everybody he fights is great, because then once he dominates him, it's like, yeah, well, that guy was great. You all agreed. We agreed he was great. Well, I smoked him. What do you think about me? Kind of thing. Or if you tell everybody that they suck and then you beat them, it doesn't make you look as good. But Keyshawn's young. He can learn this. But I will say this about the Nahir Albright fight. This is a sneaky good fight. The first fight was the toughest fight Keyshawn's ever had as a pro. A lot of people forget that. Mm-hmm. They forget. It was a majority decision. It probably wasn't really that close, but Nahir had really good close to that fight. He clipped Keyshawn with a good right hand that had him thinking twice a little bit. And the last couple rounds, you could have given to Nahir and made the fight pretty close. One of the judges had it a draw. I didn't have it that close, but this was the toughest fight of young Keyshawn's career. So this is not a walkover by any means.
Good point. Albright outlanded Davis 38-33 over the final three rounds. Davis outlanded Albright in this fight. Albright threw more punches. I mean, it's just feels like a little bit of a manufactured type of beef here with the brothers and Albright, and then Davis going back to Virginia in the same arena. Could maybe exercise some of those demons there, because I do agree that was the low point of his career. I can't even debate that. So now they're kind of drumming up something here with Albright. And I agree with Davis. Like, this is not who we want to see him in there with. No offense to Nahir Albright. Happy for him. Seems like a great guy, a great kid. And I think he's a nurse on the side, and he's fighting at the same time. And he's got some great wins to get these paydays. But we wanted, you know, Keyshawn Davis was bringing up pretty much every name under the sun, besides Shakur Stevenson, because that's his buddy. He's brought up Conor Benn. He's brought up fighting Teofimo. He's brought up fighting anyone at 140 now, and he's looked phenomenal in that last win. He's just probably one of the best fighters today that needs to get back into the limelight. He's 27 years old, which is kind of shocking, because you think of Keyshawn Davis, you're like, all right, this guy's, you know, right out of the Olympics, and he's still a kid, and, you know, he's that, you know, smile guy that's smiling, and he's going to make a run. 27. Like, this is where he needs to really get serious here. So I could kind of understand where he's coming from, where it's like, you know what, this isn't exactly the name I wanted. But he's back with Top Rank, and they're back on the zone, and there seems to be a little more stability with Top Rank and who they're putting in the ring with.
I agree to a point, but I'm also going to push back a little bit because of, you know, where he's at. Because you look at the fighters that he's fought, they're not above Nahir. Because the Nahir he fought, you know, five fights ago is a different guy than he is now. This guy beat his brother. He for all intents and purposes, beat Frank Martin. Got a draw. Frank Martin's former world champion, 135. This is, you know, that's a big win. He's a different guy now. He's entered a different sphere. And based on the fact that he actually gave Keyshawn trouble, I actually think it's a good fight. But in terms of, you know, the guys that Keyshawn has been calling out, I want to see him with those guys too. I actually think he beats most of those guys that he mentions. He is that good, but he hasn't crossed over that threshold yet. So this fight doesn't throw me off because of the quote unquote level of the guy. Because Jermaine Ortiz, like, is Jermaine really that much ahead of Albright? I don't know. But can you do what you did to Jermaine to Albright? We'll see. You know, Baranchek, I didn't really think that much of Baranchek to begin with. Lemos, forget him. He has turned into it.
Missed weight.
And Madueño, who we just saw get destroyed, you know, by that new Argentinian kid, you know, he went the distance with him. He said he was super strong. Pedraza was old and long in the tooth by the time he beat him. So, I don't know. I think this is actually a good logical step if he's not over that threshold yet, because...
Yeah, it's almost like, Keyshawn, you got to, you know, make right this wrong. Not necessarily the fight, because I thought he won Yeah, I thought he won going away. Yeah, everything around it. Like, all right, the cloud over this fight is a no decision. The cloud over that, the fact that what happened last time, and now we're going to go right back there. Then after this, we'll get it. That's like a top rank thing.
You got to prove
like
yourself.
They kind of like... Yeah, right. And now Top Rank is, this is the first fight under DAZN, and they got some stability. That's the word that I've heard from a lot of Top Rank people when I saw them at the Boots and Ennis, the Boots and Zayas press conference. So, I mean, now they're back. They got a network or a streaming service or a broadcaster in DAZN, and Keyshawn's going to go fight on a ring card where it's kind of out of their DAZN, out of their decision making, and it's kind of like a licensing thing. So now they got Keyshawn, they reined him in a little bit, and you're going to fight Albright. You're going to get this win, and then you can look to some of the names at 140. And it's not going to be Shakur Stevens, we know that. Dalton Smith, Albert Puelo. Dalton Smith got hurt. Hitchens. I don't see Keyshawn calling out Hitchens. It's just a weird position that he's in, Davis, because these are fights that I want to see him in, but he's got his sight sets on, like, bigger. He wants to just be, wants to kind of like jump the line a little bit, even though I think he's like one of the most talented fighters. I love the way he fights. I love that killer mentality he had in the 11th and 12th round and in that last fight against Jermaine Ortiz. But gotta win this one first. Big time favorite.
My point about crossing that threshold, he hasn't done that yet. And like, if you're gonna have a fight before you cross over the threshold, I think this is worthy, because it's not an easy fight. This is one of the tougher fights you can get with a guy who isn't super well known.
He's a spoiler.
He's a banana peel for 100%. They asked his brother. He literally beat his brother. So, you know, and that wasn't supposed to happen. This Nair can fight. I know. And I agree with you. I agree with him. I want to see him in with those big names. But, you know, Top Rank has a certain way of operating, which annoys a lot of fighters sometimes, because they want to be at the tip top all the time. But, you know, their system works, put it that way.
I'm curious how it's going to look. I don't think anything's going to look different on the broadcast in terms of like how Top Rank being on DAZN. It's not going to have that ESPN look to it. It's not going to have Joe Tessitore. It's not going to have Benoit Osuna. I believe it's going to be the same crew from DAZN of Todd Grisham, Mannix, and Sergio Mora with that. So that's a little interesting nugget here, is with Top Rank on DAZN, how it looks and the presentation of it. A promoter that has been attached to basically two networks for the last 30, 40 years, HBO, then ESPN. So now they're in the streaming era. Bob Arum did a story with Lance Pugmire that, you know, it's funny because he called it Dead Zone. And he's talked so much shit about DAZN, and now here they are getting in their DAZN.
The classic premiere. Generational gap, right? And I think, Dan, we do it too. Like, new things come along, we're like, and then we're like, yeah.
Streaming.
Okay, streaming's it. Yeah, it's the classic generational gap that occurs with these technological advances that are happening. Yeah, you can't, you know, like when my dad or my dad's friends asked, you know, they were asking about my last couple fights, and I told them it was going to be on a streaming platform, they were like,
DAZN?
What the hell is that? But it's the DAZN future, man. It's where we're at, and that's just the way it is. And Bob's not dumb. Bob's also as long as he's been in this game, and he's in his 90s, as old as he is, no disrespect, he's actually pretty flexible and he's adaptable, which is amazing, which is why he's still around. So he's adapting.
Mm-hmm. Brian Norman is also on this card. Nice. He returned for the first time since the Devin Haney.
I spoke to him the other day. He was at
a trainer
at a
Ronnie Shields.
Good. Yeah, Brian Norman. He was. Who was he there for?
First fight without his dad in his corner, or I don't know, early on in his career, but first time in a while. He's hired Ronnie Shields. He's facing Josh Wagner, who's a 19-2 welterweight from Ontario, Canada. Another wide favorite is Norman. And I wonder how Norman can bounce back, because he's still ranked pretty highly. Ring Magazine has him number 2 at welterweight, which can be argued. He got a little, he got undressed in that Devin Haney fight. It was a lot of hype heading into it, a lot of chatter, and he got knocked down, and then he got pretty thoroughly handled there. So a humbling experience that had him fire his dad as trainer, which I kind of like the move. I think that's a really hard thing to do. But I'm still high on Norman. I think he's still got that power, and he's still young. Like, what is he, under 25?
Yeah, he was the youngest world champion for a little bit there, so Yeah, he's. I'm also still very high on him. I think he has a lot left to give to the sport. I think that taking some time is not a bad idea from his, you know, from that loss to Haney that we were talking about. So he's coming back 6 months later. I think that's enough time to kind of chill, relax, understand that you lost your title, and now it's time to get back on the horse and make some noise.
What can we expect with Shields?
You know, I don't know. Shields is a good offensive coach. But Norman, I don't think offense is really the issue with him. I think him, it's more about getting a little more consistent with the jab. Because Norman, one thing about Norman, yes, he has power. He can punch. He's got very good timing. Very, very good timing. He's very good at punching with you and finding the big shot. That's one of the best things that has been most impressive about watching him as he's ascended to the point where he's been recently. Because before that, I didn't see a whole lot of all that. I just saw him kind of dealing with guys that he should be beating. But once he stepped up to the highest level, you saw that world-class timing was there, and he has good power. But there's gaps, and that's where Haney was able to fill in the time and take control of the fight. The highest level, you can't have gaps like that. You can't just wait and look for openings and use your good timing to land guys, because guys they'll use off-beat rhythm just like Devin did. So I would like to see him have a little bit more of an established jab, and that's something we could see with Ronnie. If Ronnie has enough time to put in the time to get him to utilize that jab offensively, I think it's there.
Yeah, I'll be watching. I'll see what Norman's got, because I still think he can make noise at welterweight. It's a very, very top-heavy weight class that has Ryan Garcia as a champion. Devin Haney still doesn't have anything on the docket here. We're into May, and Devin Haney has no fights. It's absolutely crazy. Stanione is still ranked third. Crazy. Rolly, number five. And then the bottom half is a lot of names that boxing fans aren't 100% familiar with. So I think Norman can make some noise. And that is on DAZN this Saturday. Also on DAZN this Saturday, Philip Hergovic is fighting Dave Allen. They're calling it Dave versus Goliath. I don't understand this fight whatsoever. Is this just to stay busy? Like let's make Hergovic look good before he fights Moses Atalma this summer? It's just mind-boggling that Dave Allen is getting into the ring with Philip Hergovic.
I got some behind-the-scenes info. It's not really behind-the-scenes. If you look into it, the details are there. Hergovic is a Keith Connolly disciple. And David Allen is loved by Eddie Hearn. So you've got a little bit of a little fight on the way out the door.
But Eddie's going to go home unhappy. He's not going to go home saying, we got Connolly, we got him.
He's getting his guy paid. He's getting David Allen a good payday.
Yeah.
And listen, the guy pulls off the win. Now you double. You know, you got your guy a fight. You're going to get him another payday, and he gets the win. But yeah, he's probably not going to get the win. But you're getting your guy paid. You're getting, like, would you see David Allen being in this level of fight at this point? Otherwise, no.
No,
exactly. That's what I mean. So you're getting a guy an opportunity to get paid on a big show, and David Allen's the kind of guy. He looks like he's there for a good time. You know, like he's having fun.
He's a wild man. He told Ariel Helwani that he pisses in the sink.
Yeah, what was the context of that? Just like daily pisses in the sink daily. what are we doing here?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever pissed in a sink.
I've definitely pissed in some sinks.
One of the greatest feelings.
Not on a regular occurrence.
Put that on a t-shirt. Clip that out.
Clip it.
Clip that out. Yeah, that was kind of crazy to see Dave Allen say, I piss in sinks. And I think it was the same day or the day before an Ariel Helwani show. You had Daniel Dubois saying literally nothing. It just shows the spectrum of heavyweight boxing.
Spectrum indeed.
The absolute spectrum. Keyword, spectrum. Dave Allen is a plus 630 underdog on FanDuel. Philip Hergovic minus 1250. I was expecting that to be much wider. That's interesting. Heavyweight division, I feel like, the headlines that are coming out of the heavyweight division are pretty wild. Between Dave Allen pissing in sinks, and then you have Andy Ruiz saying that he has respect for Jake Paul, but he would knock him out inside of three rounds. Okay, we have what are we going for there with Andy Ruiz?
That's probably a shot at Joshua.
A fight.
He went five.
Right, we have Anthony Joshua coming back in July against a kickboxer to set up the fight with Tyson Fury.
Not a kickboxer. He's fighting Alexander Albanian from Jersey. Is
that guy's a kickboxer? Pranga?
Oh, I didn't know that. Another kickboxer?
Yeah. Another kickboxer. I mean, I think he's a, like, I think he has a kickboxing background. He's not as like a Verhoeven.
No, right. I know
like,
that.
He started off as a kickboxer like yourself, and then he went
like,
over
he's like two. He's like 20. And
that's
like,
a big time
as a pro. Yeah, boxer.
Yeah. And then you have Alexander Usyk next weekend. We'll be fighting from the pyramids
against
in
another
Egypt
kickboxer
against Rico Verhoeven, which has zero buzz. That fight has no buzz whatsoever. I just think no one cares. We want to see Usyk with the bigger names, and like there are a lot of great heavyweight fights to be made right now. We just saw Fabio Wardley and Daniel Dubois. Like the heavyweight division will never die, and when it's great, it can carry the sport. And I wanted to bring this up with Hrgović. Obviously, there looks like they're lining up Hrgović for Etama, which is great. That's the fight out of the three I wanted to see. Remember, we talked about this last couple episodes ago. It was either I wanted to see Bacoli, Zhirai Zhang, or Hrgović. Hrgović, I think, being the toughest of those assignments. And that could be Atalma's next fight, and it could be as early as August. So I like that aspect.
I like
of
that,
it
too. I don't like when they start talking about it a whole lot before they fight. Like, can you just wait 2 days? I mean, it's the fight's right here.
No.
Because we've seen this. We've seen this time and time again, especially recently. Let's not put the cart before the horse. But, yeah, I mean, more than likely, Hrgović does what he's supposed to do this weekend. And then the Natalma fight makes too much sense.
Yeah, Natalma was supposed to fight the same night as Joshua. They're moving that to early August. But that's like an old promoter's trick. It's like, yeah, Hrgović Allen is a washout, which on paper it should be a one-sided fight. But don't worry, we're gonna dangle Hrgović versus
they
Moses
Atalma
next.
They should have him fight again. Like, have him blow guys out. Bring back the Mike Tyson effect. Have him. He's blowing guys out anyway.
I agree.
Just put him in.
I agree.
I know.
They're not doing that. Like they're treating Atalma like just like every other heavyweight. Every other heavyweight now. He's on that two-fight plan. It's no difference. Like those days are so far over, even though I think it would benefit Atama so much. He just wiped out Jermaine Franklin. I don't think he even got touched in that fight. And that was what, last month or March? And now he's going to have nothing until August? Like that's crazy to me. Especially, it's just nuts. But I don't know who we see Dubois within next. There was some pushback on your idea of Wilder. I know you don't check the comments, but they were like, oh, Chris, you're crazy, man. Chris, I agree with you all the time, Chris, but not this time. Deontay Wilder will get destroyed by
Fabio
Wardley.
Wardley came out and throwing the most
no,
Dubois, throwing the most wild right hands possible, and it worked. So if Deontay Wilder ever had a shot, that would be the one. I'm doing this for Deontay as a get the veteran a shot. Why not? Because I don't want to... I just don't want to.
I don't
see,
think
I don't
it's that crazy.
Usyk and Dubois again at all.
No one wants
okay,
to see
okay, so where does Dubois
no
go? The rematch with Wardley is there, but
what about Dubois Parker? I saw that Parker's name thrown in there. That was like a fight that we were supposed to get, and then he loses to Wardley, and then he tests positive for cocaine, and then we never hear
the problem,
from Parker again. Like, what's that? What's going
with
on
that
with
one,
that?
Which the problem of every fight involving Parker is the marketability of it. Is there a desire for that fight? He just doesn't move the needle, unfortunately. I love Joseph Parker.
Yeah, but I think Dubois is now a name now. He can carry it. Like that could do 15,000 to 20,000 in an arena in the UK. Like Parker's not a nobody.
Okay, so my point still stands. If you're the name, if you're the guy, wouldn't you want to pick a guy like Wilder? Huge name, huge profile, and you're gonna win, most likely. You know, there's a chance he's dangerous for sure.
I don't.
But like, I don't know if.
I wonder, has Frank Warren been on the record saying anything about a Deontay Wilder fight? Because I think
and
Frank
I,
would
I
fancy.
I get you guys in the comments
a,
are saying you don't
UK
like
term.
It. You don't. But I'm talking realistically from a business standpoint. Why the fight makes sense? It's not the best fight. The best fight is to have a rematch with Wardley, obviously. But I don't want that right away either.
Oh my god! I typed in Frank Warren, Daniel Dubois, Deontay Wilder into the search engine. Frank Warren claims he would pit Daniel Dubois against Deontay Wilder by year's end. Only problem, Chris, this was written May 4th, 2020.
Just rehash it.
Unreal. And this was during COVID, too. Like, yeah, I think we can get 5,000 fans if we can seat them you know, socially distance them.
That was in 2020. You can make this fight. So at what point of the trilogy was Deontay at that point? Was he past the Tyson?
He had not yet fought the third fight.
So that was a very dangerous Deontay Wilder.
He wasn't really beat.
Even though he just got destroyed by Tyson, he's still, because he...
We were just starting to see, like, all right, he's still, like, Fury just wrecked him again.
Well,
The
second one he blew through him.
He didn't wreck him in the
first
fight.
And we were all like, oh, wow, okay, maybe just had his number. And then we're going to the third one, like, he's probably got his number. But then Wilder drops him a couple times, and you're like, oh, okay, this guy's still dangerous.
And didn't Wilder, no, that was between the first and the second fight, where Wilder beat Luis Ortiz, which was quite possibly one of the dumber assignments to put Wilder in there with Luis Ortiz with the Fury fight, second fight already agreed to. Because that second Fury fight was on paper, was one of the bigger marketed heavyweight fights. Because the first one was pretty epic. Wilder and Fury coming off the canvas.
The Undertaker.
And then Fury's comeback. The amount of money and marketing that was put into that second Wilder-Fury fight, I think it was on ESPN, right, or Fox, and there was a Super Bowl halftime commercial for it. There was a giant push. I think it did 800,000 buys, which they were not happy with, which I feel like today would be celebrated.
Yeah. Different times. Times change.
But I think it didn't even break even in terms of the fight there. Yeah, so the heavyweight division is always going to be fun, whether it's these headlines of Dave Allen fighting Hrgovic, Moses Atama lurking, Daniel Dubois kind of establishing himself as the legitimate next guy. I think Dubois versus Atama, I think that's the next one that fans are going to like underground push for. We're not going to get it anytime soon.
Yeah, whether Dubois has the title or not, because he might not have it. This heavyweight division is very explosive. I think a real question is you have to follow the big fish. Where does Usyk go after this event against Verhoeven? I would like that because there was people were pushing back like, oh, Caballero deserves a shot with Dubois. I'm like, yeah, but he's probably gonna get Usyk, which is a better opportunity for him, obviously, bigger money. So yeah, because if Usyk doesn't take Caballero, I like Caballero and Dubois.
Yeah,
I like that fight, definitely. But
I don't even think about that fight because I think of Caballero. He's so in that lane of I'm fighting Usyk next. His promoter's pushing for it. WBC. He's got that whole. We got the sanctioning bodies behind him. He has his promoter pushing for it, and he also has Turkey is now interested staging that fight.
I'm just really worried that we're gonna get Dubois Usyk again, and I just don't care for the buildup of that. I don't care for the fight. I don't think it's going to be any different whatsoever. There's no appetite for that fight. But when the guy has a belt and you got a guy like Usyk who's like, well, there's a belt out there. I'm going to go get it. I don't care who has it. I'll beat him 10 times.
I don't think Usyk is even that. I think Usyk, he says he wants to fight 3 more times, which I liked. So I would be shocked if Usyk wants to fight Dubois. I think he would want that fight with Caballero, something new, something fresh.
Also, that fan base in Germany is amazing.
What else is out there?
Oh,
my God. Yeah, one of the best crowds of the year was Caballero's
last fight. So where does Dubois go?
Wilder.
Sorry, guys.
Wilder or Parker?
Yeah. Parker, is he still suspended? How does that work?
Dude, that's what I said. Like he tested positive for cocaine, and then the story just disappeared. There's nothing
coming
on
off
it
of
at all.
Suspension right into a title opportunity. That doesn't look good.
I mean, come on, it's happened.
Of course,
there's no rules in the sport.
Yeah, no scruples.
It's nothing. Fa Jagba, Richard Torres. Torres is fighting on that Egypt card.
They're not fighting each other, right?
Against.
Oh, okay.
No, he's fighting. Torres is fighting Sanchez. I'm interested in Richard Torres. He's a dark horse.
He's grown on me a lot.
He's a great interview. He's a great personality, and his fighting style is pretty exciting. He's just that he's under a little bit undersized, and I'm just looking at his reach compared to some of these other heavyweights.
He's not a real super heavyweight.
76 inch reach. He gets
he's explosive though.
Gets in the inside of that.
He believes it too. He believes in himself.
He beats Sanchez. He's the IBF mandatory for Usyk.
That's pretty awesome.
Not that I think he's going to get that fight.
I think he beat Sanchez too.
Richard Torres is no longer looked at as a just like a Olympian.
Win here. He's a legitimate heavyweight prospect. Who will get a title shot at the point of his career, I believe.
Speaking of heavyweights, Jake Paul says he may never fight again.
I didn't listen to the interview. I read part of it, but that injury was no joke. And we spoke about that. We spoke about the dangers of this sport. We spoke about the dangers of fighting Anthony Joshua. It was one of the reasons that so many people gave Jake respect for actually signing to fight him and stepping into the ring. But listen, that is a career ending, potentially, definitely altering injury. It also could be a potential like life altering. You know, broken jaw is no joke. That is a very, very serious injury.
Yeah, and it didn't heal properly. He had to get a second procedure done. He told Ariel Helwani that he has to get a tooth.
Well,
put
I said
in
that
still.
In the very beginning.
It didn't seem like
teeth out. They're gonna take.
Yeah, he didn't seem like it. Didn't sound like he's fighting anytime soon. Like he's not going to fight this year. I do think he will fight again, but just don't fight heavyweights. Like, you went there. You went in the ring with Anthony Joshua. You got all of our respect. You got a lot of hate in the process. Just stop with the heavyweight. Go fight Conor McGregor, please. Like, that's the fight. I've been saying it since day one. McGregor should be fighting in July. He's going up against who the heck is he fighting? Who's he rumored to fight? The BMF guy that, you know, throws Max Holloway.
Oh. That's a tough fight. that's a really tough fight for McGregor. Really tough.
That's the rumor here in MMA. I'm MMA Dan this week.
Very surprised.
And that's the rumor going
around. Or they're going to make Holloway go up like 25 pounds because McGregor's much bigger at this point.
There's a theory out there that McGregor was never going to step into any fighting scenario again.
I don't think he fights ever again.
He's been saying
for 5 years.
Chandler.
He made poor Mikey Chandler chase him around the world for 3.5-4 years.
Oh man, that guy was. I respect that from Chandler. He stuck to the bit. All right, everyone. I'm going to have another day of streaming. I never felt more old than I did yesterday around these 20-year-olds streaming. Rampage is a lot older than me, so I won't be. And if Ariel Helwani shows up, he's then the oldest for sure. I don't know what to expect.
I was jealous of the Dodger game. I'm not jealous of the streaming situation, but Dan, but yeah.
You know who's here? A Gracie, a descendant of the Gracies. She is a very, very nice girl, and she does self-defense videos. She's awesome. Cecilina Gracie. She's awesome. She's part of the Fight House. She does like these self-defense videos. She got like 1 million followers on Instagram. Obviously got the last name, but puts out good content. Like how to, if you're a woman and you're getting attacked, how to get out of it. She put me in a chokehold yesterday.
And she probably would have ended your life if she really wanted to.
I said, I was like, it was just pretty easy at first. I was like, all right, go a little harder. And it was like, holy shit. And then she goes to like one of the guys. She's like, I kind of want to flip him like judo. Like you see the move that Rousey did?
Hip toss.
She's like, I could do that to you, to me. She's like, I could do that to you. Let's get a camera person. And I just kind of drifted away from it.
I was like, nah, I don't feel like, let's do it. I'm not making your highlight reel today, babe.
I just kind of drifted off and like got in the Uber and left and went to sleep. Yeah. But maybe today I get hip tossed by a Gracie. Like, who knows? All right, that's our episode. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll try to come back on Sunday. I have an 8 a.m. flight. I land in New York at 4:30. I don't know what condition I'll be in by Sunday.
I have a rare weekend home, so I can actually do some yard work.
You're going to be raring to go. I'm going to be dead.
I'll carry the show. You might have to host Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you do host now. You're all over boxing scene videos. Yeah, just you now.
I mean, Paulie's fighting this week, so we got to give him his grace, give him his time.
Bare knuckle Paulie. Good luck to Paulie.
Fighting for the title this weekend, so
I'm going to be watching through my fingers on this one.
I hate watching my friends fight.
That's how I watch. I know. That's how I watched your fights. That's how I watched Ryan LaFlair's fights, my buddy from Long Island who fought in the UFC, pit in my stomach. But when the guys got that hand raised, there was nothing better. But during it, it was hell. Hell. Like your brother when you beat Provodnikov.
My brother was like that every fight, though. Didn't
he was in shambles,
every fight,
bro.
Dude. He says it now, even to this day. He's like, I was more nervous watching my brother fight than my son. because his son Michael is a very, very high level, national level amateur fight, you know, fighter. He fights toughest guys in the country, yeah. And he's like, "Hey, that for him is easy." He's like, "I've already been through it. I've already seen how bad it can be." It's like now I'm kind of desensitized.
I love it. All right, everyone, have a great weekend. We'll come back to you on Sunday in some capacity. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of those DMs.